I'm Rayburn Johnson.
And I'm Steve Sensenig.
Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Box.
Here's a chance to step outside the boundaries of institutional religion and explore the wide open spaces of our freedom in Christ.
We don't claim to have a corner on the truth, and a lot of what you will hear is just two guys thinking out loud.
So come on and join us as we journey Beyond the Box.
Steve, it has been a long time, brother.
That's right, man. It's been at least like 3 minutes since we finished the last podcast.
At least. I was starting to suffer from withdrawal.
I know. I was like, wow, we got to record something fast.
Hurry, hit the record button.
Well, it's funny because, you know, you and I, we've talked about this before. You and I meet for breakfast usually every week, and we're going to try to continue that even when I'm living out of town because I'll be back here a couple days a week to do work. But
I can't miss my bagels, man.
I know.
I need an everything bagel at least once a week.
Shout out to Mountain Bagels in North Carolina. A little product placement there. But it's so funny now that we've started podcasting in the recent last month or so, because when we're having breakfast together and we're talking about stuff, I'm like, man, I wish we were recording this.
Yeah.
Hey, can we recapture this on the podcast? And I know last week during breakfast, I was like, we got to do the podcast on that topic right there.
Yeah.
Because it's just anytime we converse now, I'm thinking, oh, people need to hear this.
You know?
There's so much in our hearts that we want to share with listeners, you know.
And really, that's what, you know, I just kind of the idea behind this mm-hmm. is that it's almost like people are sitting in the room with us, joining the conversation. That's what I hope they feel.
Absolutely.
I hope people don't feel like they're being preached to, they're joining the circle.
Yeah, and that's why we have comments on our blog post.
Absolutely.
BeyondTheBoxPodcast.com. If you don't know where our website is, we definitely welcome comments, pro and con.
If you
disagree with us, please let us know. If you agree with us, you know, we like the pats on the back, too, but we don't want just a bunch
of... Please do not diss my singing.
Yeah. I don't think anybody would.
I'm just kidding, Tony.
Nobody would comment on our singing, would they? Tony Sisk. but we tease Tony in all these podcast episodes.
We love you, Tony.
Tony made a comment on one of our early episodes about asking us not to sing. Tony's a great friend. I've actually had the privilege of meeting Tony in person a few times, played golf with him one time. Had dinner with him, lunch with him in a smoky truck stop. Tony's a great guy. Love him to pieces. And
shout out for Tony.
Yeah, really glad to have him as a listener. And Tony has helped me think through some of this stuff, too, and conversations I've had with him. Some of the podcast episodes that we've done have come out of conversations with him, too. So we want the rest of our listeners to have that freedom, too, to contribute to the conversation.
Hopefully to help form these podcasts. We're wanting to put a thread up on the website that will let people.
That's right. You actually asked me to do that, and I forgot about it. Yeah,
by the time this airs, it'll be
up there.
We've got a while.
If it's there, there should be a page on our podcast blog by the time you listen to this that says show ideas or podcast ideas, episode ideas, something, whatever we decide to call it. And there's a page there that with an open comment thread, and you can toss in your ideas. It could just be a couple words of a topic, or if you've got some thoughts, you can spell them out there. We don't really limit the length of the comments or anything, but it is just a chance for us to kind of peel back the covers on our conversations, invite other people into the conversation, because I know there are a lot of people out there thinking some of the same things and asking some of the same questions.
And wondering if they're the only one.
Yeah, and maybe coming to different conclusions than we are.
And please know, you know, when you're joining our conversation, you're getting the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah,
I mean, we don't edit these.
We don't edit these at all. Sometimes we sing and leave it in there.
This is just, I felt that was pointed.
That's right. I would love to edit out Ray singing.
You know what Seal says, though? You're never going to survive unless you get a little crazy. So
you're quoting Seal? Is that what you said? That great theologian?
I can sing it if you want me to.
No, please. So, you know, it's ironic. We've actually talked a little bit about the purpose of our podcasting.
Yeah.
But we want to talk about the topic of purpose.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of a buzzword. And you have a disclaimer, I think, Ray, that you'd like to offer at this point, right?
First of all, I just want to say, you know, we are not in any way coming against anyone out there who has written a book on purpose. I work at a Christian bookstore. I've seen a lot of books on purpose, everyone from Rick Warren and Kay Warren to many other authors. It's a big buzzword right now. So this is not pointed at any one person or, you know, I just don't want people to think.
Although we do want people to listen to this podcast for 40 days, right? Don't we?
40 is the biblical
40
number.
Days of podcasting.
Or at least seven days. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, for me, I remember when you and I started meeting over 2 years ago. One of the things that we started talking about was this whole purpose-driven mentality.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that everything had to have a purpose,
right,
and that everyone had to find their purpose.
Yeah, everyone of us has a purpose. Yeah.
Yeah, that God had a purpose for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I know one of the things that, as I came out of the institution and I began to, I guess you'd call it detox from the institution.
Yeah, sure.
And a lot of the relationships I had in the institution began to kind of dwindle because mm-hmm. they were based around a common purpose, a common theme, a common goal. Mm-hmm. And once that common goal was no longer there,
you weren't part of that program anymore.
When I wasn't, you know, feeding that goal or oriented toward that goal, then some of those relationships went by the wayside. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not pointing any fingers because in many ways that was just as much my fault as it was other people's.
Sure, yeah.
But what it began to show me was that so much of what we do in the church, even within relationship, is not based upon mutual love, mutual admiration,
mm-hmm.
Mutual respect, but it's based on gathering people around a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like, you know, in the modern church, in the institutional church, we have this idea that there is a vision within a church, that a pastor
right.
or
pastor
a team
gets
of
the vision from God.
Pastors,
yeah.
exactly. Mm-hmm. And we use that scripture from Habakkuk, you know, let them write it on tablets that make the vision clear that they may run who read it.
And without a vision, the people perish.
Without vision, the people perish. We throw them all together
mm-hmm.
and we come up with this, this goal for the believer.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we orient people around that goal so that everything we do, every gathering we have, has to have a purpose. For mm-hmm. instance, I remember when I first came out of the institution and began meeting with you and with some other people and just very inconsistently, not, you know, we didn't set a certain time.
Right.
We didn't say, okay, we're going to be here for 2 hours or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we might just hang out and, you know, watch a movie together or something like right. that. Just very organic. When I began to do that, one of the fears that I had and that other people communicated to me was that we were going to lose the purpose of our meetings.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there was no value in simply being together.
Right.
There was no value in simply fellowshipping and enjoying each other's company.
Mm-hmm.
We had to somehow interject some Christian activity
mm-hmm.
to really make the meeting valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. And that leads people then to this pursuit of purpose.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, we've talked in past episodes about relationship with Christ, relationship with the Father, that like that's the driving element to a relationship. It's not something that we have to figure out or search for.
Right.
You know, what is my purpose? Why does God have me here? We know some things that were revealed to us through Christ that we're here because God created us in His image.
Right.
And we're here to proclaim His kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, Paul said we've been given this ministry of reconciliation, and that's basically what we proclaim, is that there was separation between man and God. Man had turned his back on God. God made a way for reconciliation to take place. We are now reconciled with the Father.
But even then, I think that becomes confused with our purpose.
Right.
I still don't think that's our purpose. That might be our ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But our purpose is to be in relationship with God.
Right. And that's, I kind of said that poorly, but what I was getting at is that that comes out of the relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, you know, we talked about how God has told us not to worry about tomorrow, what we should eat, what we should drink. We talked about that a few episodes ago. And I apply that to just about everything in life.
Yeah.
You know, James even cautioned us against saying, oh, next week we're going to go to such and such a city. We're going to do this and do that. And, you know, and he says, you really need to say if the Lord wills, which we've then turned into a buzzword and say, Lord willing, I'm going to, you know.
Yeah.
But I think the point is that we don't need to figure out some long-term purpose.
Yeah.
Because
you're saying we don't need a vision statement?
That's exactly what I'm saying. My vision for this podcast, Ray, is to not have a vision
statement. We have no vision for this podcast.
Does that mean we perish? Because I think we miss the essence of a spirit-led life.
Yeah.
There's a verse in the Old Testament where God says something to the effect of, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, turn to the right, turn to the left. You know,
right.
I think there is a sense in which we have completely missed the idea that the Spirit can guide us in every moment of every day. And so if we focus on what is my purpose in right. life, we immediately write off a whole bunch of other things. I'll give you an example, and I don't mean this to criticize anybody, but this is just a real life example of something that happened to me. There was a period of time when I was living in Austin, Texas, where God had really laid it on my heart to minister to some homeless people. And it wasn't anything planned. It wasn't anything formalized. In fact, the church that I was a part of at the time came to me and said, well, maybe you should head up our homeless ministry. And I'm like, that's not where I'm at. You know, it's just, I don't want to do a program. Yeah. I don't even really want it to be under the auspices of a particular church, because I knew then the motivation was just to get people to
the
church.
Well, robs the value, takes the value out of it.
I just wanted to be open to whatever God would do. And it took various forms. Sometimes it was just stopping at a corner and giving somebody some money that needed it. Sometimes it was going and buying food and taking it to a homeless person. A couple times with the help of a friend that I would, you know, we'd prepare some meals, and I had a pickup truck at the time, and we just have big serving dishes and spoons and bowls, and we just pull up to a spot where we knew homeless people were going to be and start dishing it out, you know, totally spontaneous, totally just guided by the Spirit. I was in a band rehearsal at that church one night, and a homeless man wandered in to the rehearsal, and he needed some help with something. And the rest of the band immediately said, oh, Steve, that's your department. And I thought, they didn't even stop to think, is there anything they could do to help?
Yeah.
It was just, oh, you're passionate about that.
Must be your purpose.
Yeah. You're passionate about that. So you can deal with them. We don't really care, you know? And I shouldn't have said that. I don't know that they didn't care. I don't think that's what they were conveying.
But I get what you're saying.
But I was just frustrated in the moment, because I'm like, I feel alone in this, you know? Whereas I think we all should be open to the Spirit in every moment, to whatever God wants to do through us in that moment.
Yeah.
And not say, well, that's not my purpose. That's not my, you know, it's kind of like spiritual gifts. And we could possibly do a whole podcast episode on this. One of the frustrations that I have, and I think this kind of goes along with purpose, you know, people take these tests to find out what their spiritual gifts are. Well, the unintended consequence of that is you find out what gifts aren't yours.
You have one gift and don't have 11.
Yeah, pretty much. Or you might score high in a few, but there's some that you don't. Oh man, I definitely
I'm staying away from that.
Yeah, I definitely don't have the gift of mercy, so don't come to me with your problems. You know.
Oh, well, you gotta love that.
And it really, I mean, it sets up this sense of division to say, well, that's not my gift.
Yeah.
You know, somebody comes and needs help with something. Well, I don't have the gift
of hospitality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go find somebody that has that gift. I think that the whole point of what Paul's talking about with the gifts is that the Spirit gifts people in certain situations with certain gifts in the moment.
Yeah.
So, for example, I may not have experience functioning in the gift of mercy, let's say, but if I'm in a situation where someone needs mercy, the Spirit is going to work through me to show that mercy to them.
That's right.
So, you know, tying that into the whole concept of purpose, if I think, well, my purpose is to start an evangelism ministry.
Yeah.
Well, then you get into the concept of you have other believers coming to you. Well, I don't really deal with you because I'm just about converting non-believers.
Yeah.
You know?
It pigeonholes you.
It pigeonholes, yeah. And then it limits the ability for God to move through you in any given moment. Well, that's not my purpose. So if a church, an institutional church, comes up with a vision or a purpose and says, we exist to do this or this, it by definition then defines what they don't do.
Yeah.
So if they say, we have a vision or our purpose is to reach 18 to 28 year olds who aren't normally in church.
Yeah.
Well, now you've got 0 to 17 and 29 on up, or 18 to 28. Yeah. Or 18 to 28 year olds who are regularly in church. We don't care about them.
Yeah.
That's somebody else's purpose.
Yeah.
instead of just ministering to the people that God brings your way.
Yeah.
You know, why don't we just allow the Spirit to define those things in the moment?
That's right. For me, I tell you, one of the biggest things for me, the dangers in this whole purpose-driven idea for me, mm-hmm. is that we lose our heart in the midst of it. And here's what I mean.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people have quoted that scripture from Jeremiah over and over. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, and said that, you know, you can't trust your heart. You can't live out of your heart.
Right.
And therefore, you've got to find, it's almost like when people begin to look for their purpose, mm-hmm. they always look outside of themselves.
Mm.
They go to a book, they go to a seminar, right. they go to a conference, so that someone can stand up in front of them and tell them what the will of God is for their lives.
Yeah, and if you match this criteria and this criteria and this criteria, then this might be your purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of living out of their heart,
mm-hmm.
people are scared to live from their heart. And here's, you know,
because we're taught not to trust the heart.
We're taught not to trust it. But here's the rub for me. We are taught, according to Romans 10:9, that if you believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, confess him as Lord, you will be saved. So the very first step in having a relationship with God is with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
The very first step.
And Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart.
All your heart, exactly. So the only way you can love God is from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem I have. We're always going to another conference, another seminar, another book mm-hmm. to find something that God has placed on the inside of us. You know, God said that he gives us the desires of our heart. Now, mm-hmm. of course, we can take that two ways, that God right. either gives us the things we desire, but I believe maybe a more,
places,
correct interpretation is just that, that mm-hmm. he places those desires in us.
Sorry, I didn't mean to take your words.
Oh, no problem. Yeah. But so if I have a desire in my heart, why is it, you know, there are people out there right now who are missionaries in the bush in Africa who really want to be teaching math in the eighth grade somewhere in West Virginia or New York or California.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, because they've been told that God's primary thing for their life is evangelism, for instance, they run their life according to someone else's program
mm-hmm.
because they believe that they're going to miss their purpose if they don't.
Right.
Whereas if they would simply look in their heart where God lives, we all say mm-hmm. Jesus lives in your heart.
That's right.
Instead of looking in their heart and saying, you know, I'm going to step a little farther here. Instead of just saying, what does God want? Saying, what do I want?
Mm-hmm.
Because if God gives me the desires of my heart,
right,
and I'm a believer, my heart's been redeemed, I'm a new creation, everything mm-hmm. old has passed away, everything's become new,
Amen.
Then I can trust my own heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say, okay, Rayburn, what do you want?
Yeah.
What are you feeling on the inside?
Yeah, because no matter which way we go with that desires of my heart passage, either way,
it leads to the same conclusion.
It's what you feel in your heart. Either it's coming from God and changing what would be your desires, or it's what you want and God's going to give it to you.
And so, maybe both.
Yeah. So either way,
it's a win-win.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. And it goes back to the fear that we're talking about. You know, you use the phrase people being afraid of missing the purpose for life. And I think that's the real downside of a purpose-driven mentality is the idea that you can somehow miss something that God wants you to do. Why are we afraid of missing? Instead of just following the Spirit and living life and being confident that if God wants us to do something, he's going to reveal it to us and that we'll hear his voice and know it because we're his sheep. Instead of being confident and trusting in him to communicate with us, we're constantly afraid that we're going to miss something from him.
My wife will tell you, oh, do I have a story for you there? For years, after we got married, for the first several years of our marriage, I used to tell my wife all the time, this was one of my mantras. I used to say, honey, one of my greatest fears in life, and notice fear is in that equation.
Yeah, absolutely.
I said, one of the greatest fears I have is that I'm going to get to the end of my life and realize that I've not used every bit of my potential for God. I kept saying, I said this all the time, I'm just afraid I'm going to miss what God's will is for me.
And that just debilitates you to do anything
for God. Sure does. And a perfect example in how debilitating that was, we came upon this decision to go to a mission school in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to require us to sell our house, to quit our jobs, et cetera, et cetera. And I told my wife, well, I've got to seek the Lord and see what he wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for a period of a month, I prayed, heard nothing. Heard nothing, prayed, heard nothing, fasted, heard nothing. So one day my wife and I are going to my, my mom and dad's house for lunch, and we're driving down the road, driving down our driveway. And Erica was asking me, you know, well, what do you feel like about this Norway thing? I said, well, you know, I just haven't heard from God. Now this was, you know, I'd been telling her that for a period of weeks. She just finally slammed on her brakes and she looked at me and she said, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for it to be written in the sky? Are you waiting for, you know, God to send you a letter? What are you waiting for? What do you want to do? Well, I still didn't get it. Well, we ended up selling our house, going to Norway, quitting our jobs. And while I'm in Norway, you know, for years, like I say, this mantra has went on. I don't want to miss the will of God. I don't want to get to the end of my life and realize I've not lived out my potential. Well, there was this man from Switzerland who was teaching at the school in Norway. And one day we were praying. He was there for a period of a week. Didn't know me from Adam. I had not shared anything about my life with him. We were praying and he told me, he said, Rayburn, the Lord wants me to tell you, you're not going to miss it. And he said that over and over. You're not going to miss it. And that has become a word from God for me.
That's exactly.
Not just for me, but for all of us. You are not going to miss it.
Right.
Get out of the fear.
Yeah.
Let go of that tendency to think that you're going to miss the will of God, that somehow you're going to get off track, that somehow you're not going to hear when God calls.
Right.
And realize that you are safe with Him. You're secure in Him. And if you'll just listen to your heart, and follow the desires He's already put in there, you are not going to miss it.
Yeah, and there's such freedom in that, which, you know, again, is sort of a common theme that we keep talking about. And one of the whole reasons, you know, we say in our intro that we're exploring the wide open spaces of our freedom in Christ. You know, you and I have both stepped out of an institutional expression of Christianity. You know, we don't do the whole church building thing anymore. The traditional structure, because we have found that there's freedom outside that institution, where the institution says you might and probably will miss it.
That's why you need us.
That's why you need us. Yeah. And that's why you need to keep
your buffer
and everything. Yeah. So that you don't miss it.
Yeah.
And if you step outside, you know, who knows what's going to happen to you? You're leaving yourself wide open.
It's that whole covering doctrine.
But yeah. And yet you and I have found that pursuing God outside of that box is incredibly
free.
Because we're not worried about missing it now.
Yeah.
We're not living in that fear of, you know, I remember you sharing with me, and I think we might have even touched on this in another podcast, that before you left your institutional church position, you were concerned that, well, I've got to have something else to go to.
Yeah, I've got
to
have a purpose.
Yeah, you were afraid of missing something.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't have something else to go to, then I can't leave.
Yeah.
And it took you a while to kind of get to that point of, no, I can just trust God. And if this is God leading me, you know, it's like, I've gotten some emails, and I think you have too, from, guys who are pastors in churches, and this is a really tough position. You and I both kind of went through this ourselves. So we definitely can feel for these guys, but, they're getting to a point where they question some of the institution, they question some of the traditions, maybe even getting up to a point where they question whether or not their own position as a pastor is valid.
Yeah.
But there's this sense of, well, I don't know what to do about it, you know? And my heart really breaks for guys like that in that position.
Feel their pain.
Yeah, because, boy, that sounded a little too much like Bill Clinton there.
I feel your pain. I feel it.
But seriously, I do. And my response to guys like that is, I'm never going to tell you to leave your position.
Oh, no.
Why? Because it doesn't need to come from me.
It's not my place.
It's not my place.
Yeah. I'm not the Spirit of God.
Yeah. But I'll tell you this much. If the Spirit of God tells you to leave that paycheck and that position, then you got to trust that He's going to take care of you.
I'll go a step farther. If you want to, that's probably the Spirit of God.
That's a great point.
You know, I hear people, this is something I've grown weary of hearing. People will say, well, you know, I'm really hating being in my job right now or being in a church right now or whatever, but I don't feel like I've been released.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if you didn't get the memo, but you hating
You've been
it
released.
Is probably a pretty good indicator that the chains have been broken.
That's true. That's true. And it's just, you know, it comes back to all that we've talked about in recent episodes of fear, you know, not really feeling like God's good enough. or that he's not really able to provide for us.
We've been taught that if we want something, it's obviously not the will of God.
Yeah.
And if we don't
want something, it's part of not trusting our heart. Yeah.
It probably is the will of God.
Yeah.
We don't trust our hearts. Right. So we always, you know, we always follow some outward sign. Mm-hmm. Like I said, a book or a seminar or just mm-hmm. whatever the latest fad is, instead of looking within. And, you know, if we just simply looked within and said, okay, I'm going to trust that God speaks to me. Mm-hmm. You know, God said something to me a while back, and yes, God spoke to me.
We better write that in the back of
our
Bible.
Sorry for all you people out there that offended, but God spoke to me. And I really believe the Lord said this to me. What did the Lord
say? What did he say?
You just lost your train
Sorry,
of thought.
That was a, senior moment
so
for a
memorable.
32-year-old man.
Oh, that's I don't want to hear it. That's 32 pretty bad. Is not senior. If you're senior, I'm ancient.
But the Lord actually said to me, he said, you know, John 3:16, mm-hmm. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him will not have eternal life.
Will not perish, but
have will not perish, life. But have eternal life. Excuse
wow,
me.
We
will
should
not have eternal life. Listen to that. But I was reading the scripture or was reminded by the Lord of the scripture where it says, my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah.
And they recognize my voice mm-hmm. and they will not follow a stranger.
Right.
The Lord said to me, son, that is just as much of a promise mm-hmm. as he who believes will have eternal life.
Mm.
You can bank on that just as much as on the fact yeah. that you're going to heaven when you die.
Yeah. And it's kind of, if I could sort of reframe it from a different angle, we're not only talking about hearing the voice of God to know what to do.
Right.
But also trusting that if we were to head off in the wrong direction,
exactly,
that God's going to bring us right back. He's not going to let us just blindly wander off in ignorance. Now, if you want to like willfully just go off on your own, like the prodigal son,
then
the father's
totally
going to let
different.
You go and he's going to wait for you to come back and, you know, he'll welcome you back with open arms. But if your heart, if your desire and your focus is on listening to and following the Spirit of God, he's not going to let you just walk off the path.
Yeah.
If you start to take a step in the wrong direction, he's going to nudge you.
Well, isn't that what happened in the book of Acts with, you know, Paul? I don't ever remember Paul praying whether or not he should go to a certain place.
Right.
It just said that he set off to go there. Mm-hmm. And most places he would go in, preach the gospel, you know, do what he needed to do. But there were a few places that it said the Spirit of God forbade him, like Bithynia. Yeah. It said the Spirit of God forbade him to go into Bithynia.
Yeah.
You know, I think that
was that, you know, he was praying and God said no.
I don't know.
Or did he just understand as he started in that direction? Oh, this just doesn't sit well with my spirit.
I have a really good friend in my life that said this to me.
Well, thank you, Ray.
Yeah.
In addition to Steve.
Someone that's really helped me a lot. He said to me that,
as if I haven't.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't. Boy, you're really,
this friend has really helped me,
no,
Steve.
You really hit me here.
I'm sorry. Go on.
I have another friend in my life who's really helped me
a lot
in addition to Steve. But he said this. He said, Rayburn, quit looking for the red lights.
Mm.
Look for the green lights.
Yeah.
Problem is we're always thinking that God's telling us no.
Yeah.
When really most of the time he's telling us yes.
Yeah.
And that he's saying I'll be on just on a practical level, what's going on with me. You know, I used to pray about everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were days I would get up and pray, should I wear this shirt or that shirt? I mean, I was just in bondage to prayer, to be honest with you.
Sure.
But I have gotten to the point now where, for instance, these podcasts that we do,
mm-hmm.
there was a point in my life for years where I would have prayed and prayed and I would have had to have gotten prayed up to do these podcasts and felt like I needed to spend all this time with the Lord and spend time in the scripture and all these things to prepare my heart. But I'll be honest with you, I have actually felt the Lord almost restrict me from doing that on purpose because it was such a religious ritual that it was almost like I was trying to woo him.
Right.
Trying to show him that I meant business.
Mm-hmm.
So he needed to show up.
As if he wouldn't know that anyway.
As if he wouldn't know. As if he wasn't in me right now.
Right.
So you know what? I've actually felt the Lord just kind of nudge me to not even pray about these podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
To not prepare myself.
Mm-hmm.
To simply trust the Spirit of God to show up and say through us and to us what he wants to say.
Because if you prayed about it, he'd probably say, don't sing on the podcast, right?
Hey, Actually, he probably would tell me to do a whole podcast just for Tony.
Just for Tony?
We will take your special
Tony,
requests.
If you tell us what songs you like, we will do an episode
I
of songs.
Fly like an eagle.
You know, it's funny. I like I said on an earlier podcast, I love Tony, and I hope he's not bothered by this because we're recording four episodes in a row, and we won't get his reaction until the whole month, you know.
So every week he's going to be like, "Man, I don't get it."
Next time we record, Tony, we won't bring it up. No, but I understand what you're saying, and I think, you know, again, it probably would be really good for us to do an episode just about the voice of God. You know,
you're going
to
say on singing.
No,
I was like,
no,
what?
No,
sorry, I digress.
No, on hearing the voice of God, because yeah. I think this is an element of walking in the Spirit that a lot of people just aren't familiar with.
Yeah,
you know, we go to another person to find out what God's saying. We
go to Scripture.
We go to Scripture to find out what God's saying. We don't.
I heard some elches right there.
Yeah, yeah. And most people say, well, that's because God speaks through Scripture. Well, okay, sure. But do you really know what the voice of God sounds like? Because you can twist Scripture, say anything you want.
And the thing I keep coming back to is what is greater? For me to do something because it's written in Scripture,
mm-hmm.
or to do it because it's in my heart?
Right.
And we always defer back to, well, the reason I don't commit adultery is because Scripture says don't commit adultery.
Yeah.
I've gotten beyond
I don't commit
that.
Adultery because I love my wife.
Exactly. I've moved beyond that point of, you know what? If God told me today that I could go commit adultery, mm-hmm. it wouldn't change anything in my life because I love my wife.
It's interesting you use that analogy because I was just talking about that with my son the other day. The idea that, you know, a lot of people think like the Ten Commandments are still applicable for today.
Yeah.
And when we say, no, we're not under law, we're under grace, they go, oh, well, so you think it's okay to commit adultery? But see, that's the whole point of
adventures and missing the point.
Yeah. The commandments gave us specific laws to follow, and we followed them because they were specific laws to be followed.
Yeah.
But now the law of God is written on our hearts. So it doesn't matter to me that there's a commandment that says, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Exactly.
I don't want to commit adultery because my love for my wife supersedes any desire to be with anybody else in this world.
So the truth is you're following your heart.
Right. Exactly. Because God's law is written on my heart.
Yeah.
And it's a law that basically just says love.
And you're able to actually follow your want to,
yeah.
not your should.
And it's interesting because I think when we're really getting off on tangents here, but it all ties into this idea that, you know, we're going to miss something from God.
Yeah.
When Jesus clarified the law in saying it was really a heart issue, and, you know, he says, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you, if you just look at someone with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. I think what he was telling people is it is about following your heart. Because otherwise we say, well, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to get too graphic here because we don't want an iTunes explicit rating. But the whole discussion during the you know, president and the intern thing going on, you know, and what is, you know, this and that and definitions of stuff, you know.
Talk about it beating around the bush.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be prudish here. I just really don't want to put this podcast in a different category. But, you know, the whole idea was, well, we didn't really do that.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, we're okay.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Jesus was punching holes in.
It sure is.
You know, you can say, oh, well, I didn't commit adultery. I lusted all the time, but I didn't commit adultery.
Yeah.
So you can't write enough commandments.
No.
To, you know, it's like with my children, I can't possibly come up with every rule to make them not do something wrong.
Yeah.
You know? And so I anticipate and hope that they will learn to love God and love me as their dad and Christy as their mom, so that they're not going to do the wrong things because they love.
Well,
because I said, thou shalt not.
The whole sign of maturity in my mind is that you move beyond the point of having a law
right.
that you have to abide by
yeah.
to the point of having a desire that's written on your heart
yeah.
that you're able to follow that really, while it maintains the law,
mm-hmm.
it supersedes it
mm-hmm.
so that it's, you know, like I'll give you an example of one thing that I think we've missed in interpreting Scripture is where Jesus, the golden rule, you mm-hmm. know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How we've read that in the church is don't do to others what you wouldn't have them do to
right.
you. But Jesus is, I mean, every other religion
he's taking
has
a positive approach
yeah,
to it. Yeah.
Every other religion has a negative form of that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do to somebody else what you wouldn't want done
right.
to you.
Yeah, the whole idea of karma.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
if
karma.
You do something bad to somebody else, then
yeah,
yeah.
It's karma. But Jesus supersedes that whole thing and he says, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. It's mm-hmm. a proactive
yeah.
stance. It's a positive stance.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what love does. And that's mm-hmm. what following a redeemed heart does.
Yeah.
Is it causes you, instead of just fulfilling a requirement, it causes you to shoot that requirement, shoot so far above that requirement. It's like, instead of having the pole vault at 3 feet,
mm-hmm.
you go 10 feet over it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So in the context of purpose, it's simply a matter of what God has laid on your heart, do it.
Yeah. Follow
and,
your
and
heart.
Just, yeah. Just walk in the freedom of that. Don't worry about missing something. Don't try to figure out what some other thing might be going on, because when God wants you to do something else, he'll reveal it to
you're
you.
Safe.
You're safe.
We keep coming back to that. You're safe.
You're safe.
Enjoy yeah. life. You're safe. Walk in freedom.
Yep. BeyondTheBoxPodcast.com. Please come over, shoot us your comments. And hopefully this has been an encouragement to you to walk in the freedom of following your purpose, which is just to follow God
in
relationship with him. Yep. Take care.